When I heard about exponential growth and exponential theory, I knew I had to learn more. Let's talk to the author of Exponential Theory, Aaron Baer, on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. I'm super interested to understand a little bit more about the exponential theory. You know, and you break it down into a bunch of different categories. I've dug into the book and I've looked at it, and I'm going to go sort of right to one. Tell me a little bit about exponential disruption. You've got a theory around linear companies and why they die, and I'd like to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, well, if you've been in the book a little bit, you know, part of it is just recognizing the world is speeding up around us, and it's speeding up for all the small companies out there as well as big companies. You know, no one's really safe, just because if you're not able to make exponential decisions, meaning you don't start making decisions faster than you used to, if we just linearly like make those decisions, we're going to come up with linear results. And today, when things are moving faster, unfortunately, the companies that die the fastest, whether they're small or big, are the ones that don't make a decision. And don't making a decision is a decision. And when complete industries are being disrupted and we're finding new ways to do things, which many of your audience are helping, you know, other companies do that, is new ways to digitize their business. Peter Diamantis and Stephen Kotler came up with a scale called the 6 D's. And basically, once something becomes digitized, it becomes exponential. And I think that's part of everyone in your audience is helping companies do that. And that helps speed up decisions, you know, whether it can be good and bad, because if you're making bad decisions, you're making them faster and faster. If you create, you know, the right information and, you know, you create the right systems, I think it's an important part of helping companies make the right decisions. But once something's digitized, then there's a period of deception that most companies go through, that maybe a linear company may grow at a faster pace. But if you look at any exponential curve, which is really what my book, Exponential Theory, The Power of Thinking Big, is about, then it gets to a point where it becomes disruptive. And once it's disruptive, there's no turning back. Those linear companies have no chance to compete. So it's sometimes hard to make it through that deceptive phase where you're actually getting people the culture, the ability to make decisions faster, to actually see the future and live from the future now, meaning like, where are you going to be in 12 months? Where are you going to be in 5 years? And I think it's the longer term thinking about exponential theory is, we have a chapter called The Long Game that really talks about how these companies that have really created the massive transformative changes, they've done it because they've thought a little bit longer term, which is interesting as things speed up. It's staying the course on that long-term vision, but living into the future, creating that. But once it becomes disruptive, then it generally becomes demonetized, democratized, and dematerialized. So you see every industry going through this. Journalism was one of the first industries, which I have a story in there about Craigslist that was part of digitizing the Sunday news ads, which then demonetized newspapers, which then forced us into this place where journalism went into extremes, which ultimately leads into a bigger picture of why today we're in such an extreme position on just about every issue. But it all comes back to building better business models that are long-term thinking to avoid that disruption. In fact, be the disruptor instead of the disrupted.
Oftentimes, when you dive into this kind of stuff, a lot of the examples tend to be very product focused companies, right? Companies that are producing a thing. How does this apply in the world of services, which have a different, you know, can't quite scale because you can't scale infinitely based on the fact that you've got labor, right? You have to have people involved in service delivery. How does that work when services are the core offering?
So I look at it, the biggest thing that's happened over the last 10 years is all products have become services and all services have become products. So when you start to think of it that way and you think of your business model, software as a service, which is taken over, and all of your viewers are probably intimately familiar with software as a service, but that model itself has helped these companies as well as their clients really scale their revenues by just adding clients. And I think that's a better business model. But when you really take something that's a digital product or a service, it's really, how do you make it a product that people can actually tangibly feel and see? And part of that is the outcome of the benefit of that and really building it. A lot of times, like I'll give you an example of a very digital product, an ebook. Ebooks, when you make them look like books, they like sell 10x, meaning you just make them dimensional. People then can get in their head, okay, there's value in this book versus literally just getting another PDF, which is what you're getting. And I think that's the, you know, how do you play between that product and service? Part of it is productizing the services you offer so that you can scale into a software as a service model, into a model that scales and goes exponential. And I think the more you can run everything through one business model, the more that companies are going to gain traction in the in what they want to disrupt. You know, they become the disruptor when you start to get a massive transformative purpose that you want to change some part of the world. You know, if you can focus on that and get everyone on your team understanding that's our North Star, that's what we're going to go disrupt, then we basically can help those companies. And that's what I do, is I go into companies and help companies think bigger about that at the board level, at the senior leadership team, and really get them aligned so they can galvanize around something that's much bigger than what they are now. And that's where small companies that want to become big, you know, some of their biggest challenges are, you know, who are the people that are, you know, what I'll call the bottlenecks, you know, and sometimes it's the president, sometimes sales, sometimes it's operations, sometimes it's all three. So to break through to that, you know, it takes a different style of thinking to think, how do we think a little bit longer term? How do we productize the services we have so that we can deliver and we can start saying no to customers? Because a lot of time in the service business, it's like, yes, yes, we can do that. Yes, we can do that. There comes a place that you don't realize how inefficient that is for the organization to learn how to deliver something, you know, just because a client wants it, instead of saying, this is what we offer and we'll help you find someone for to create a solution for whatever that is that's outside our offering. And that kind of relationship building is really important in the tech space as you really grow that, because, you know, people are looking for relationships they can trust and, you know, people that can really educate them, not only the area that you service them with, but also all the services and products outside of that. And giving you honest answer to say, hey, we can't help you this time, but here are a few different solution providers. People remember that. And all I can say, my career in selling technology, which I've sold hundreds of millions of dollars of technology, has always been because later someone landed in a different role and they remembered me and called me. And then the deal of my lifetime landed in my life. And that's happened several different times. And I think it's part of thinking the longer term, even for your own individual sales career, but for your company. A lot of companies always think in these short-term periods, where when we really see the exponential growth is when you stay in that, but that deceptive phase where you really just embrace it, is like, hey, I've got to keep doing this and thinking about how I productize this so that it scales. And I have something in the book I say is, you want to create business models that are repeatable, predictable, scalable, and sustainable. And then I add one other thing to it, and thrivable, meaning that you start thinking about all people that you are impacting in the ecosystem as well as the planet. And what we can say is that companies are growing at exponential rate, have taking that into consideration more than other companies. So it's important for these smaller, you know, systems integrators and providers to really, you know, look at the big picture of the industry that they're in and focused on, and think about the trends that are in the future and be in the future now, meaning don't wait for the future to happen to disrupt you. It's really thinking that exponential curve that I just defined, you know, what are the business models that are going to ultimately disrupt every one of the businesses out there that are talking to us, because there's not a business, and even you take the big five tech companies, they're all changing their business models all the time to move to the market where it is in the future, not where it is now.
You said something really interesting in there. You talked about saying no is the power of that. What's your guidance for how to know when to say no?
Well, I think small companies, if you want to leverage your resources and bring some of your clients together, it's good to build a community around what you do. And sometimes that's, you know, for real small companies, it might having a dinner party with several of the CEOs that you work with. It might be having a conference, you know, if you're a little bit larger. There's a bunch of different variety of ways to build deeper relationships. And like I mentioned, relationships is, if enough of those people get together and say they want a something to be added on to your service offering, then you add it. But if one person wants it and nobody else really does, that's your litmus test to say no. Like, hey, this probably isn't what we need to do. No one else is asking us for that. Now, if it's brilliant and it aligns with a longer term roadmap of what you want to offer or where you want to go with your massive transformative purpose that I talked about earlier, then it becomes easy to kind of implement it in a way. And I use these CABs, these customer advisory boards, as a way to constantly get feedback, but also think about the customer having a seat in your business to be successful. When you start giving them ownership over the roadmap, one, they don't leave you. Two, they're going to help you and give you product feedback. And they're going to actually help you make the decision of no or yes. Because in the end, they're going to be bought into the ideas, how does your product make them the most efficient? And if they really need a feature or an offering, they're going to come to the table. And then sometimes you can outsource that. What I've said to a lot of different companies I've worked with is, sometimes you may want to outsource that and say, hey, we'll build this onto our system. We'll partner with someone else. We'll have them build it so that we don't focus our energies on anything but building the best product to solve the problem that we're solving for our customers. So if a specific customer has one outside of it, it becomes much easier to kind of figure out how do we help them get that by actually partnering with other companies. And that's where you have to think about the ecosystem. The more companies you partner with in the future, they'll return the favor and give you a referral back, and you'll get business and grow too. So it's all part of being part of a much bigger ecosystem, which in the book, I had the Rhodium rule, which everyone knows the golden rule is treat others as you would want to be treated. Then I think there's this platinum rule, which today is demanded, is treat others as they would want to be treated. And then I introduced this rule called the Rhodium rule in the book, which is like, think about the entire ecosystem. So all of a sudden, your customer, your suppliers, your stakeholders, not just your shareholders, but the environment, all of these, you know, diversity, inclusion, all these different aspects that create complexity for small and large businesses are important, because when you make decisions and you don't think about those things, then you're actually making a decision against yourself, because later on, that's going to have unintended consequences that'll likely come back and you'll have to deal with, that'll cost you a lot more than dealing with it now. So it's doing the right thing now. And sometimes that costs a little bit more, but it's that longer term vision of who you want to be and staying true to who you are and the values you have. And that's where values and mission and vision and purpose are really important to the smallest of companies if they want to grow exponential, which is what I've done in my career, is just helping companies think a lot bigger and then grow exponential, because they have their North Stars. All their employees know what they need to do, how they can make decisions. And then it's empowering people by driving decisions down in the organization, so that one, you're not a bottleneck, whether it's operations, sales, or leadership. You're actually making things happen at a much faster rate, which is demanded today with the speed that things are coming at people.
So if people are interested in getting a copy of the book, what's the book and how do they get it?
It's on Amazon, Exponential Theory, The Power of Thinking Big. It's been Wall Street Journal, USA Today. It's been Amazon number one bestseller in 10 different categories, number one business book at one time. And it was actually number two overall on Barnes & Noble for 3 or 4 days. We just couldn't eclipse John Grisham for whatever reason, kind of understand. But really proud of the book. And it really is something that it, you know, helps organizations think a little bit bigger. It's kind of an entry to my world, which is all about helping people think bigger about themselves exponentially. Mindset, Belief, and Attitude is the other program that I've created called the XMBA. And that's all about helping people personally, professionally, and organizationally think bigger. And we put whole organizations through that program, which is my coaching program, that we have a bunch of different facilitators that teach to teach, that train the organization. And then when you get everybody aligned with thinking bigger, decisions become easier, alignment, purpose, all those things kind of get in line so people grow a lot quicker. It's been my life's work, my magnum opus. I spent 15 years writing the book and really glad of how it turned out and, you know, what companies are using it for.
Well, congratulations on its release and thanks for joining me today.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the time and conversation.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.